This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Today's podcast features a cobbler from Lakeland, Florida, who gained worldwide attention for his unbelievable shoe repair videos. Jim McFarland has been dubbed America's Cobbler and has millions of followers that tune in on social media sites to watch him fix shoes. The background on how he got into the family business is fascinating. And during the pandemic, his daughter thought it would be fun to record her dad's work. His videos have been viewed over 60 million times. I knew I had to interview him to find out more, and he did not disappoint. Here is Jim McFarland, America's Cobbler, on the Janice Dean Podcast. Jim McFarland, I love your story. I read it a couple of days ago, and I knew I had to get you on the podcast because you're doing a profession that maybe not a lot of people are familiar with. But it's something that's been around for a very long time, and it's in your family, and you have made it very popular on social media to be a cobbler.
Yeah, I tell you, I've never seen so many people that have inquired about learning, that's for sure. But that's a big problem, though, is not too many people know how to do it anymore.
Mm. Well, take me back. Obviously this goes back generations. Mm-hmm. Where did it all begin?
You know, it's funny because there was a new twist to my family history there in the business a few months ago. My grandfather, I thought, had started it. He had his first shop around 1918 in Hamilton, Ohio. But he got married when he was like 17 years old. And he was one of five kids, and his father died just before, about 2 months before he was born. And he was always in a lot of trouble. And then someone on Ancestry posted, oh, you've got a new photo, a family photo. And I'm like, okay, I'll just check it out. So I looked, and there is my great-grandmother's brother. And name was Jacob, and he had a shoe repair shop in Anderson, Indiana in 1900. And I'm like, son of a gun. So I'm doing some more research, and he's the one. I always wondered how my grandfather got into it. Well, he's the one that got my grandfather into the business because he was getting into trouble. And I guess he figured if he married his niece, he's going to teach him how to do a trade. And
wow.
And keep him off the streets. So it was a kind of a weird twist in the story. I always wondered how he had learned the trade. And there I found, I put the picture on my website, actually. It's a really cool old picture, but that's how it started. So around 1900. So we've been in the business about 124 years.
And then you saw your dad doing it, right? And he must have saw his dad doing it, and so on and so on.
Yeah. My dad grew up in my grandfather's shop, as I did. I can remember when I was a kid, believe it or not, I have memories of being in a little playpen in the back. And I remember kind of pulling myself over and watching my dad work. And yeah, I got faint memories of it, but they're there. So, yeah, I grew up in it just like him. I stood around, watched all the shoe cobblers growing up. And by the time I was about 15, I was... I'd watched everything so much, I just picked up stuff and started doing it.
And I guess is there a manual for it, or is it just watching and learning?
Man, it's there's some manuals, some old books people have written, but truthfully, it's years of proper training to do it right. But watch. And that's what I did. I stood around and watched those guys. I didn't realize I was learning. I was just watching because I was bored. I'd play as a kid, then I'd stay around and watch these guys. It fascinated me for some reason, and then I just pick it up and do it. Like my daughter, she's done so many of these videos now on her social media that she actually knows all the steps at this point of what's next and how to do it. So it's just reputation of watching and watching and watching. And that's the whole key, is watching, doing a lot of watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there a club? Like, is there a cobbler's club?
There's an association, Shoe Service Institute of America. It's ssia.info, which is actually a great site. You can go on there, find, it's got a shop locator. You can find the closest shoe repair shop near you. It's got tips on how to care for your footwear, how to buy good footwear. It's a great page for the consumer. And they've been around. They've been around since 1914, I believe.
Wow.
Something like that. Long time. Yeah.
So it is one of our oldest professions.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, they've been repairing shoes probably as long as they've been making them.
So what goes into that? I mean, if someone comes in and brings a pair of shoes that you don't, can you repair anything?
No. I've got a saying. My guys around here hear me say this every day, every day. Cheap products are hard to fix. Cheap shoes, cheap purses, they're the hardest to fix and repair. Good quality items are much easier to repair. So, and they last so much longer. You buy a good quality product and it's going to last you for decades. And if you have a problem, it's pretty easy to repair. Mm-hmm. But cheap items, I'm almost to the point where I just want to say no at this point, because they're just not worth, a lot of them just aren't worth the aggravation, because you try to repair them and they just, some of this man-made material just disintegrates and falls apart. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what happened? You were in the pandemic and you were still doing your job and your daughter decided to put it on social media. How did that all happen?
Yeah, that's funny. She actually worked at Universal Studios in Harry Potter Land, and she worked in the wand shop. And so she loved working with the kids there. And, you know, the kids can buy a wand and they can go to different areas of Diagon's Alley, I think it's called, and wave the wand a certain way and magic happens, right? And so she started making these little videos on her TikTok to show kids how to use the wands correctly, so when they go, they wouldn't have to try to guess. And she was doing pretty good. I know she's getting, you know, 40,000-50,000 hits, and it was like, wow, I was impressed. And she goes, you know, Dad, we should do a TikTok for you and just see how it goes. And I'm like, okay, well, I was not even spelling it right at that point. I don't even think I was saying it right. But anyway, I said, okay, sure, let's do one. And the very first one we did got 2.2 million hits.
Oh my gosh.
And my daughter was like, you gotta be kidding me.
What do you think it was? What was it about, the video?
It was just, you know, we do ours different than a lot of other cobblers. We just let people watch it, and she, her editing and the way she does the videoing and then the music she puts to it, it's kind of hypnotic. And there's times I'm watching one of her videos, and all of a sudden, when it's over, I'm almost shaking my head. I almost feel like I was hypnotized or something, because I'm so sucked into it between watching everything and listening to the music that I even forget that I was the one doing the shoe repair work. I'm just like, yeah, she just does a great job. And, you know, she started her own. All these people in the local area started coming around wanting her to start doing all the stuff. Even our local sheriff, who's a very famous sheriff, Grady Judd, hired her for an 8-week project for his social media. And it just, she's just done great. So she's the magic behind the cobbler, that's for sure.
Well, she has to have good subject matter. So,
well, it's a combination for sure.
How long does it take you to do a shoe or a pair of shoes?
Well, depending on what it is, if it's a full recraft of a really nice man's dress shoe, one pair about 3 hours, mm-hmm. 3 to 4, just depending on what you're doing to it. Ladies can be 15 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're doing to it. But on an average week, we probably produce about 100 pair as far as repairs go. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just me, my wife, nephew, and my son and daughter do the social media. But, yeah, we've been like 6 weeks out. So you figure, you know, we've got about 600 pairs or so in here now, and it's about 100 pair per week. So the only thing we can do at this point is just push it out an extra week when we get another 100 pair in, because we've been trying to find a good cobbler for a long time, and it's just not happening. So
I would imagine
my nephew right now. Yeah,
I would imagine that things got popular. You know, people decided, wow, there's somebody that can keep my shoes in good shape. I'm going to try him out.
Well, you know, that's when you were going back to the COVID there, a lot of shops closed, and there's only about somewhere between 3,000 and 3,500 left in the whole country. And at one time there was about 120,000. So there's not many left. So there's a lot of areas where there's no shops, within hours. And so when everybody's, you know, shut down, they're looking, hey, I've got some good shoes. I don't know what to do. And it just kind of all clicked, you know. There's several shops doing some social media stuff, and we're all busy. People mailing in their work because they just can't find a shoe cobbler.
And we'll be back with more of the Janice Dean podcast right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
What's the weirdest thing you had to repair?
Oh, man. Boy, I did that one on a podcast a couple years ago. Yeah, I was young, though. I was really young. I wouldn't do it again. It was a body bag.
What?
Yeah.
Like leather body bag?
No. It was made out of a vinyl or something, and they needed the zipper repaired. And I remember wearing gloves, and they said it was all clean and all that. But I was just like, I was only like 20 years old. I've never done it at this point in my life.
And you'll never do it again.
Never again. Never.
What would you tell somebody that wanted to get into this trade, this business?
Ooh, well, people that want to learn it right now, we get a dozen people or more a week that ask. The best way right now is if you can find a cobbler that is close to you, because the majority of shoe repair shop owners are over 50 years old. I'd say 85-90%. So if you can find a pretty good shop and ask them if they have somebody that is taking over, or if they have an apprentice, and a lot of them, probably half of them, are going to tell you, no, there's no plans. And a lot of these cobblers, unfortunately, have to work up into their 70s and 80s because they just have no exit strategy and they can't survive on Social Security. So a great opportunity for both people would be go into a shop if you're interested. Say, look, I'd love to be your apprentice. I know it's going to take 3 to 5 years to learn. And at the end of the apprenticeship, if you're ready to retire, I can take over the shop, and whatever you work out with that shop owner, whether it's monthly passive income to help with their Social Security, it gives the cobbler a chance to maybe be able to retire, and the apprentice to be able to own a shoe repair shop and actually know how to repair shoes by the time they're ready to retire. So that's kind of a good way to do it right now. because there's really no schools or anything.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever think about doing something else?
Yeah, there was times I wanted to do other things, but you know what? I'm 59. I kind of fell in love with my family history with it and everything. Just at this point, I'm glad I stuck with it. Things I thought about doing, I would have probably thought to myself, I wish I would have had my little shoe repair shop back, because things are pretty simple here. It gets crazy busy, but we don't have to deal with, you know, a lot of things other people have to deal with. So that's a nice part about it. So I'm happy. I love what I do. I wouldn't, I don't regret any of it.
What do you love the most about the job?
To be honest, the customers. Not all of them, though.
Like anything else.
The stories, especially the mail-ins. Sometimes you'll get stories where those shoes or boots have been. Sometimes you have, someone that passed away, and their brother or their dad or whoever has the same shoe size, and they want to restore them, and you can get them back together where they can wear them, and then when you see the reaction and how happy they are, that's probably one of my favorite things, is just seeing the reactions of the person that's getting the item back. As far as a favorite thing is working in my store crafting, I don't know if I really have one. Sometimes I enjoy it all. Sometimes I hate it all.
Yeah.
Depends on the day. but now I think it's just making sure that the customer is really happy and really satisfied with the final product. That's what motivates me more than anything, to be honest with you.
Now, what about your hands? Like what takes wear and tear doing this job?
Ooh, yeah, that does. At 59 now, they start to cramp up sometimes. Of course I've been doing it for 43 years now, so yeah, you get some wear and tear, but it's not that bad. It's not that bad. You can, you mainly have to be careful over time. You learn to be careful with knives and machines.
Yes.
As far as your hands go, yeah, they start getting a little sore and a little, cramping up a little bit, but 43 years, they didn't start doing that till a year or two ago, so and it's not that bad that often, so
okay, good.
But overall, I think I'm going to hopefully go another 5 years or so before I decide to turn it over to my nephew and family.
Okay, so there is somebody in the next in line to take over.
Yeah, right now there is.
That's good.
Yeah.
What about technology? Is it all the same tools that it's been since the 1900s?
You know, it pretty much. I have tools that were my grandfather's, and they may be shaped a little bit different, but same purpose. They really haven't changed that much. Machines have changed a bit. You've got big, long sanding belts now on machines, what we've had since probably the 70s. But, a lot of shops have machines from the 30s and 40s in their stores still. And they serve the same purpose. They're just not as efficient because they're little bitty sanding wheels. So you have to change the sandpaper quite often. So the machinery itself, definitely modernized, but hasn't changed over the last 30 or so years too much. A little bit, not too much. Health-wise, there are some machines we have and a lot of shops have that recycle the air or vent it out just to keep the atmosphere healthy, that you're not breathing, I can remember cobblers. Not only did they all smoke in the shops, but they would glue and spray dye while there's a cigarette in their mouth.
Wow.
And there's these flammables 6 inches away.
The good old days.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I didn't blow the place up. But no, we keep the place, I've got two different fume extractors just to make sure we have good air to breathe. That's important. We use adhesives. That's one big thing, is the adhesives these days. We're using adhesives that are free of toluene and MEK, which were the most hazardous chemicals to breathe in a shop for, you know, forever, mm-hmm. you know, that aren't good for your liver and other things. So there's a lot of great products out there that are making these glues definitely safe to work indoors with.
Yeah, you don't think about that, you know, the toxic stuff. Now, mm-hmm. did you meet your wife when she came in one day and said, "I need a pair, you know, I need someone to fix my high heel shoes"? How'd you guys meet?
You'll like this. I was in high school. I was a football player and she was a cheerleader, and I saw this cute cheerleader and decided, it's funny, a friend of mine, this other girl I knew from elementary school, called me and said, "So how you like high school?" I said, "Good. You got any girls that you've met?" I said, "Oh, there's just one cute one I see that I've got my eye on." She goes, "Oh, who is it?" I said, "Her name's Debbie Wells." And she goes, "Oh, my God, that's one of my best friends. I'll call you right back." And she hung up on me. And I'm like, "Oh, my God." So, next thing I know, she calls me back and says, "Okay, you can call her." I was 16, she was 15, and she ended up coming to work here when she was like 16 years old. So she's been working with me this whole time.
Oh my goodness. So was it a love connection right away?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we were just like best friends, you know, you know, it's always been like that. I mean, I'm sure she gets, she's got patience, I'll tell you that.
Does she do the job too? What does she do?
Yeah, she waits on customers and she does shipping and receiving. And it's funny because people come in all the time and they want to hear my opinion on their shoe repair, and she'll give her opinion. But then they insist, and I have to go out and wait on the customer, and then I end up giving the same exact answer that she gave them, and she's just standing there looking at me and looking at them, and but she has just as much experience on counter as I do.
Yeah, that's amazing. Don't go anywhere. We'll have more of the Janice Dean podcast right after this. I see this as a movie. This is like a perfect movie. I see Leo DiCaprio being like your grandfather.
Yeah, that would you know, there's a lot of interesting stuff, and boy, there's some rabbit holes, that's for sure. Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, my dad was, I was in college. I was in my second year of college, and I didn't want to do this at that time. I wanted to do something else. I love football. I wanted to coach football, and he was sick, and I had to drop my classes and come back and help him. And then one day I go to turn the key and he's not here anymore. And I had to take over a family business that was deep in debt. And I dug my way out, fortunately. And we lost everything twice. I mean, we had hurricanes come through, destroyed our building, our house, had to start over there.
Wow.
And then with COVID, we almost had to start over. And then we dug our way out with the social media thing kicked back in. So, you know, nobody was wearing shoes. They were all working at home. So, you know, nobody walking around their shoes. What are you going to do?
Mm.
So, yeah, twice we came back and, you know, and better than ever each time. Been very blessed and fortunate.
That is an awesome story. I see a book. I see a movie. I love it. I think it's, I don't know, it's a slice of Americana. It's hard work. You know, yeah. It's learning a trade. I think a lot of kids these days are wanting to go down that route, and I don't blame them.
Yeah. No. My son just graduated from college, and he was actually in tears the other day. He just was like, he's working here with me temporarily. And he's just like, you know, I'm just graduated, spent 5 years in college and spent all this money, and what do I do? Mm. Here I am sitting in a shoe repair shop. And I said, "Oh, it's not so bad." I was there where you were once, feeling the same way. I said, you know, just use this job right now for gas money and until you find where you want to be. And know, that's the way I felt in the beginning. And then I realized my place was here. And I remember telling my wife when I realized I had to take over this shop, and I didn't want to take it over. Believe me, when I saw what my grandfather went through and what my dad went through, trying to run the shop and trying to pay bills, I didn't want to be like that. And I looked at my wife and I said, if I'm going to have to take this over and be a shoe cobbler, I don't want to be just a common cobbler. I'm going to make it the best out of it. And, you know, we've ended up, we've won awards all over the world. We just competed in Germany this past summer. There's 16 different countries. We won 2 gold medals over there.
Wow.
That was great. Yeah, we've won some of the highest awards that you can win, and which is great for craftsmanship. I just did it mainly, you know, to help with marketing. I wanted to do that, but also for the family heritage. I wanted, you know, we've been in the family. It's been the family so long. I wanted something to back it up. It's not just, you know, hey, we've been in the business 120 years and we've won awards.
Yeah.
So I wanted it to be more, and I wanted it to be for the customers, so they feel like, okay, you know what? They know what they're doing. I feel comfortable leaving these expensive shoes here. You know, all of that's important. So anyway, when I told my wife I didn't want to be any common cobbler, I just don't want to be a common cobbler. It's funny because we were looking through some old newspapers not long ago, and we found one where they did an article on us, and the headline was "No Common Cobbler."
Mm.
And when I read that, I was like, I remember saying that. And look, it came true. Oh. So it was a very nice feeling to hear that. Because, you know, when I was back in school, and I wasn't a bad kid, I never got in trouble or anything, but there was just a lot going on at home, the stress with my dad and mom and you know, trying to run the shop. And it was just a lot going on, and my focus wasn't at school, and I didn't do well. And I remember they told my dad I would probably never graduate high school and probably not amount to much.
Mm.
And now I sit and I think about that, and I used it for motivation.
Yes.
You know, in life, I have found that everybody usually has a time, goes through a hard time, or they grow up in a bad home, maybe an alcoholic parent or sibling or whatever. You can use that for an excuse to be bad. It's easy to use it for an excuse and be a bad person and fall into bad habits. Or you can use it to motivate yourself not to be like that and to make your life a lot better. So that's what I chose. It hasn't been easy. It's not easy being good. It's not easy working hard. It just takes a lot, but it sure pays off in the end, because at least you've got something. Mm. You know, you've got a family, you've got a business you can look back and say, hey, you know what? We put a lot of work in and we made it. So, you know, it's been a long career, and I see it, you know, I see the end coming, you know, in 4 or 5 more years and getting out of it. And but I can look back and say, you know, it was all worth it. I'm glad I did it, and I wouldn't change a thing.
Oh, amazing. What an amazing human being you are, and just so many lessons along the way. I really enjoyed our conversation. How do people find you? I mean, all of a sudden I see, you know, people lining up at the post office with their old shoes that they want.
You know, let me tell you, when there's loads of shoes coming in here, some days we'll have so many. I mean, UPS and USPS and FedEx dropping, and I'll look at my wife and I'll just say, we're in the midst of a shoe-nami.
A shoe-nami!
You know? There's so many shoes, waves of shoes coming in. So
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, how can they find you?
Well, that's one thing we started doing. Oh man, I hope you got 30 seconds. I'll tell you another
part. Yes, please, go ahead.
So I used to go to Los Angeles a lot. I worked for a couple German companies promoting their products for the last 20 some odd years. Every time I'd walk into this one place in Los Angeles, this friend of mine there, Gene Burton, would say, hey, there's America's Cobbler. And I'd get embarrassed. And I'm a bit on the modest side, I guess. And I would be embarrassed because all of his employees are there. And he'd say it every time, hey, America's Cobbler, America's Cobbler. So one day I'm in Dallas, and it's right before the pandemic, and it's pouring down rain. I'm laying in my hotel bed. And I'm like, I got to figure out how to market myself better because, you know, all this social media stuff's out there, but I need a good branding name. And then I thought, oh, America's Cobbler, that guy that calls me America's Cobbler, I think that would be good to brand. So we started branding that. So we're America's Cobbler on TikTok, America's Cobbler on Instagram, americascobbler.com, pretty much America's Cobbler, everything. But that's cobblers and shoes, not peach cobbler and ice cream.
Now you got me hungry.
Yeah.
The tsunami and now the peach cobbler. I'm done.
Yeah, there you go.
Jim, awesome. I'd love to meet you in person. I might just pitch you as do this. Obviously, we're on the radio and people can listen to this conversation, but it really is about watching what you do that tells the story. So maybe we can make that happen too.
Okay. Well, hey, you know what? I love supporting my industry and getting the word out there. And I love it when people like you take the time to listen. Thank you very much.
I loved hearing about it, America's Cobbler. Thank you for being with me today.
Oh, thank you for the invite. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again to Jim for joining me today. I highly recommend watching some of Jim's incredible videos to watch how amazing he is at his craft. I told him he needs to write a proposal for a book or a movie screenplay because his story is fantastic and not a traditional career path, which I love. 5 generations of shoe wear. You can check him out at McFarlandShoeRepair.com. Thank you to all of my listeners. If you have someone you think should make the Dean's List, let me know at Janice Dean on Twitter or Janice Dean FNC on Instagram. Or you can rate this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or at FoxNewsPodcast.com. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. In these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at FoxNewsPodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.